Hey everybody, it's the Loop Mechanics Podcast. Your hosts Bealus and Scormus are here to ramble on for a while about video and tabletop games, or whatever nonsense comes into their twisted little minds. Then, if you are very lucky, they will crawl off back under the rocks from whence they came, only to return again, like clockwork, next week. Seriously, these idiots are more unavoidable than death or taxes, and much less pleasant to endure. Anyway, enjoy the show, if you can.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Scormus.
And I'm Bealus.
So, another week, another failed intro. Do you have anything you'd like to speak about this week?
Well, I know it's a little late to be announcing it, but Guild Wars 2 has one of their holiday events going off. This is the one with the Crown Pavilion and the battle, or the Boss Blitz battle. And then there's also the Zephyrite section. It's basically two holiday events, two different holidays kind of mashed together, because neither one of them are overly huge. So, but between the two of them, it makes a full event.
Well, aren't they kind of ramping up for their 10th anniversary, which comes up towards the end of the
this
month?
Yeah.
That's,
I think it's like
cool.
28.
Nice.
Hopefully the birthday presents you get will be worth it.
Oh, yeah. I keep forgetting to, like, log in and get them, but I'd have to reinstall the game.
Yeah.
Which means I'd actually have to come into my office and play my laptop, because I game on my laptop, if it's PC gaming. Anyway, speaking of gaming, though... You know I love me my Switch, right?
Hmm?
I am a huge fan of the Switch. I love my Switch, but it has failed me. I was in the middle of playing Animal Crossing, and I froze. Whole game froze.
From sheer boredom?
No. But that's
no?
cute. That's,
Are you
that,
sure?
That was a good line. No, I was happened to be on my wife's island at the time, so I'm thinking, oh, it's an internet issue. So she bounced me out of her island. You can do that. I go home. No big deal. Still can't move. But the game, once I, you know, hit the power button, you know, put it to sleep, then brought it back, I was able to use the right Joy-Con, but the left Joy-Con wouldn't work. And so I have done all kinds of troubleshooting, tried different Joy-Cons. Different Joy-Cons work. The ones like off my wife's Switch on the left side works fine. Connects up, reads battery, all that works perfect. But hers is a newer version. Hers is a few months, actually almost a year newer than mine. Mine doesn't do crap. Doesn't charge, doesn't read, it just died. And if you shake it just right, little bit of a rattle. So something broke. I don't remember dropping my Switch anywhere, but...
You do have two dogs in the house.
Yeah, but they're not that rambunctious. I don't know. Regardless, I have to go out and get new Joy-Cons. But the good news is they're already on order. And it was an excuse to get me some cooler looking ones. So instead of red and blue, standard, or actually blue on the left and red on the right, I'm going to have purple on the left and orangish gold on the right. So, yay, I guess.
Sure, yay.
Yeah. I can keep the other one for spare parts. You know, like for replacing the... joystick or whatever. So, woohoo. Anyway, so yeah, failed me. I was annoyed for all of 2 hours while trying to figure it out. Until my wife, who was very quick to order new ones, so I'm wondering, did she accidentally drop my Switch? I do not know. But, regardless, No accusations being made, because I don't want to get punched in the throat. So, shall we move on?
Sure.
Cool.
Yet another topic about video games. How original.
So, Bealus.
Yes.
I was thinking, since I don't have anything topical for this week, as you know how it goes, MMORPGs. We have both been known to play many of them.
A few of them.
Yeah, you currently still play Guild Wars 2 on occasion, right?
On occasion.
And you play some No Man's Sky, which isn't exactly an MMO, but kind of.
I play it as a single-player game.
Yeah. Well, hell, I play most MMOs as single-player games. But that's beside the point. I have a long, rich history with MMOs, but don't currently play any. I think the only one I have installed on my computer is New World, and I haven't logged into it in months. Because, well, it's New World.
That it's New World and it sucks, so why would anybody log into it?
It doesn't. It's not that it sucks. It's just that it's not as good as I had hoped.
Well, that's just it. It's not as good as anybody expected. That's why almost nobody plays it.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
And hopefully, they promised a lot and delivered nothing.
Well, they delivered some, but it wasn't good enough, and it was broken. So, beside the point. It does kind of get to our topic, though. It got me thinking. There are new MMOs coming down the pike. Variety of different ones. From your classic free-to-play microtransaction hell to more traditional MMOs. Some with known IPs, some not. Hell, you got one that's pretty much Animal Crossing, the MMO, right? Or Stardew Valley, the MMO. It's very along those lines of a community-based MMO. But nothing really. I've jumped in on New World, but you haven't jumped into a brand new MMO in years, have you?
It's going on 10 years now?
Right. The last one you were really excited about was Guild Wars 2, wasn't it?
Right.
Which was the same time I was excited about Secret World and Guild Wars 2. And I don't mean Secret World Legends. I mean the original Guild Wars... The original The Secret World, which has been shut down for 5 years. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. You can still play it, technically. Well, it's in maintenance mode and nobody's there. I'm sorry, I talked over you, what?
No, I was just saying technically.
Yeah, technically, it's still there. Technically, they haven't taken away my Grandmaster status. Technically, I got to carry over most of those benefits to Secret World Legends, which is not an MMO. It's MMO Lite. But beside the point, it's been a long time since we've been super excited about a game. I was mildly excited about New World, and that's why I bought it and jumped in on it first day. And I did enjoy it for the most part. It's got some good parts to it in the early part of the game. There is no end game. Not really. But that's beside the point. At least it doesn't have a fucking subscription. If it had a subscription, I would be peeved. But again, that's not the topic. What I was thinking of, we could discuss. What would it take for you to look at a new MMORPG? Whether it's one of the real ones that are coming down the pike in the next few years, or something that's just something off the top of your head, something you make up in your mind that isn't really coming, but what would it take for you to be excited to jump into a brand new MMO again?
Well, that's easy. Do you remember when WoW first came out?
Yes.
You remember how when you started your professions, you mattered, you know? Being an enchanter, and there were guilds out there who were trying to do dungeons and raid, and they needed certain enchants, and they just didn't have anybody in their guild who had these certain enchants, but you had it. And so they would wait for you to log in, and then they would jump to get all these enchants done. So, I mean, it's like almost every single day I would log in, and there are people waiting for me. That felt kind of good, you know? Yeah. And that, you know, you were able to build stuff that not everybody else could. You know, my engineer, I think it was building bullets for the raiders. You know, my mage was doing enchants and making water and food for the raiders.
Yeah.
It was kind of cool to be needed.
Yeah.
Also, I remember that when you would get loot, and as you were leveling up, the loot mattered. You know, there was a feel, you know, a tangible change in how your character played when you would get a new piece of loot. And I don't think any game since then has captured that feel on either of those.
Yeah, so what I'm hearing is you want itemization to matter, and you want crafting to matter again.
I want it to have an impact. I mean, it's cool that, you know, in Guild Wars 2, you can craft ascended items, which are almost as good as legendaries. The problem is you can't craft them for anybody else. You can only craft it for your account.
Right.
Wah, wah.
Well, it does encourage people to play their own character and level up their own crafting skills so that they can make their own ascended gear eventually.
Yeah, but once you've, you know, made your main and maybe a couple others an ascended set of, you know, weapons, armor, and all that other stuff, it's kind of like, what's the point? And crafting is just forgotten.
Yeah. Now, for me, I have some excitement for some of the new MMOs that are coming. I don't think I'll ever be as excited as I was for The Secret World or for Rifts. A Rift when it first came out, because I was in the original closed alpha for that game. Got to see it develop along the way, and so I built up a love for that game. That's why it hurts me so much that it's now in the hands of Gamigo. Regardless, I've never really felt that since. But what I need to see from any upcoming new MMO, I'm not going to care about you if you do not have a robust systems for solo adventuring. I need to be able to jump into your game and enjoy myself without having to worry about getting a group. Oh, sure, I can. I want that to be available, but I want to be able to enjoy the game on my own terms, be it crafting, be it housing, be it doing role-playing, and solo questing, going out and doing solo dungeon runs. Scale your shit so that solo and small groups can go out and have fun together, so that we don't have to join these massive fucking guilds that treat people like a fucking number. Oh, you're a healer. You will be here at this time. You will do these things. And if you're out of line, you're gone. I'm not bitter. No. I'm just a little scarred from WoW. Anyway, I realize MMO means massively multiplayer. But as we've been seeing through games like No Man's Sky is a good example, multiplayer can also mean primarily solo play. And I'm not saying they have to focus the whole game on solo play. But if you don't have a commitment to solo players and the solo experience, fuck you, I don't care about your game. It just comes down to that. Is there anything else, any IPs that you might be excited about or, you know, that could come down the pike?
So far, the only one that even looks interesting is Palia, and that's that Stardew Valley Animal Crossing type game.
Fuck yeah.
But not because it's going to have like amazing graphics or all these awesome dungeons or whatever. Because it just looks like it's a fun game to play in. It's not, you know, it's not going to be, you know, the WoW killer or whatever the hell you want to call it.
Oh, yeah.
It just looks like a fun little game. It's going to be exploring, adventuring.
I do like how their plan is to be a community-focused game, which you could think of as, oh, it's going to be force grouping. No, it sounds more like it's just encouraging people to work with other players. It doesn't force it.
Help your neighbor out.
Yeah, you can do what you want, but help your neighbor. Trade with your neighbors. Make friends. Work together and maybe then go out and group up and go on adventures. Or not.
Mm-hmm.
I can go into that game, I believe, and if it works out the way I've been told, I can be the curmudgeon who doesn't want to hang out with anybody. I can role play as the, you know, the neighbor that doesn't really talk to people and does his own thing, but can on occasion offer his services to help out when needed. And yeah, I do plan on role-playing in Palia if there's a role-playing community to work with.
Oh, there almost always is.
I mean, it seems like the game screams for it. Especially since there's a lot of people
The game is currently available for beta testing.
Yeah, I thought about jumping into it, but I get a little weird about jumping into betas. I didn't jump into beta for Guild Wars 2 when it first was coming out. Even though I had pre-ordered and I had beta access, I did not jump into that beta because I wanted to see the game fresh right when I jumped in on launch day.
Yeah, but you missed out on some awesome events.
Oh, I'm...
Their end of beta events were unbelievably fun.
I'm sure they were. I remember beta for the original Guild Wars. That was amazing. And I'm not against betas in themselves, but in a lot of ways, seeing that development, the way the game changes through alpha and beta, kind of makes the game lesser to some degree. I really enjoyed Rift, for example, through their alpha and beta. But there was a lot of things that I'd run around in, like, say, the Meridian, one of the main towns in Rift. And there's these books you can pick up that don't really seem to have much of a use anymore. They used to, because you used to have to learn all of the different trait lines before you could use them for your characters, and then eventually lock into three trait trees, you know, trait lines. And one of them, there was one of the nine that could only be gotten through doing PvP. That was a unique way of doing things. I liked that. They took it away. I just went, hey, that's just one trait line I'm not going to get. I had no intention of playing PvP. But then all of a sudden I could get it. Anyway, sorry. As for myself, I'm Polly, I like the idea of it. That's great. But I really, really, really would love to see one of my favorite old games come back to life. And people would say, oh, are you talking about the upgrades that have been announced and are coming to Lord of the Rings Online? They're redoing all kinds of cool shit, and they're even adding new skirmish and things like that. Yay! Just got announced the other day. No. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I don't trust them to do it. I think they'll fuck it up if they did do it. But I would love for Funcom to make Anarchy Online 2. I want my original MMORPG back in a functional and usable state. I want that game so bad. I know people will say, oh, that's crazy. Why would you ever want to play that game? That had some of the most fun, stupid fun gameplay I've ever seen. Ridiculously challenging stuff. And everything was available to me, whether I was playing alone or whether I was playing with one of my coworkers who got me into the game, or whether we joined up in a full group. I could always go and do something. And they had housing from the start, basically. I mean, I jumped in like 3 years after it launched, but they already had a good housing system in. They had all kinds of cool stuff all ready there to go, and I want that back. But the current game just doesn't work. It's so old, and the engine is so old. I know they carried it over to the new engine. But the graphics, oh my God, please, for God's sakes, I don't care if they use the new engine. Use the new engine. Give me better graphics. Give me systems so that the guns don't shoot at the ground. They actually shoot the target you're shooting at. It's half the time they shoot the ground. Oh no, it actually hit the target. But the graphics show it shooting the ground. Please. Funcom. I know you don't care, but it's your IP. Give me Anarchy Online 2. I would be super excited for that. I would be happy to drop money on that. And considering what Funcom did with the last game I was excited about, how they did that wrong, and did all the players of Secret World wrong, I would forgive you if you just gave me Anarchy Online 2. Rebuttal?
No, I never played it. Have no idea what it's like.
It's a very weird science fiction game.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of most science fiction games. I wouldn't mind seeing Shadowrun made into a MMO.
That would be interesting. That would be cool. I think that would actually work really well, especially if it wasn't... Really, keep it in Seattle. Because the whole Seattle area, that's not a bad zone. You can break it up into neighborhoods and the smaller towns like Redmond and whatnot. They have all these zones. And if they want to expand, they expand down into Oregon, which was elven country, if I remember right.
Mm-hmm.
There was, you could add on Japan. Plenty of stuff there.
Well, and Native American nations.
Yeah. Now, I would hope that the systems were better than they are in the actual tabletop role-playing game.
Well, obviously.
Magic and decking and all that would have to be much more improved. But, and I would want it to probably be third person so I can see my actual character. If they decided to go with a first person only, I would be annoyed. Yeah, I think I'd be excited about that. But then again, if they just gave me Cyberpunk as I know people will say, yeah, but you got Cyberpunk 2077. No, that is not an MMORPG. Also, it will not run on my PC. Oh, no, it will. Barely. But no, thank you. I'm not buying a brand new PC just to play a single-player role-playing game. Even if it might be good 2 years after it came out. But whatever. I would still take an actual Cyberpunk MMORPG where people can actually play together and have fun together in Night City and confines.
I'd still rather do Shadowrun because I really would like to play a rat shaman.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, Shadowrun gives you so much options. So many different options to work with. You're not just all human with cybernetics. You have a variety of different heritages. And it adds, you have the magic aspects. You've got freaking dragons. Mm-hmm. Not the mindless roar, I'm going to eat your village, burn everything down dragons. But dragons that run for president.
Dragons that run the banking industry. Yeah. Oh, you think you're going to attack me? How about I destroy your credit?
Yeah. It is the setting has always been the best for that. And if they gave us that setting with a good system on an engine that works, Unreal, it's fine. Base it off of Unreal. I wouldn't use Lumber Yard, which is what New World was built on. Thank you, no. But that would allow you to have crafting in it with stuff like gunsmithing, armor smithing, actually be, someone like a cyber doc, stuff you could learn to do these things. Build and improve your own cybernetics. Write your own software for hacking, using your crafting to do that. It would be able to be so much, so different, but also in depth and give you things to do. That would be super awesome.
Well, what I'd like to see is in the crafting for like deckers and such, not only are you writing your own software to help you, hack other corporations, but you could also be the one who creates the new version of Black Ice to sell to the corporations and make yourself a mint that way.
Sure. And it's already kind of built for an MMO anyway, because the whole concept of Mr. Johnson, the corporate connection.
Yeah, the fixer.
The fixer who hooks you up with different jobs. You just go to different clubs and you, because Mr. Johnson isn't a single person. They just call themselves Mr. Johnson. Right. Be a bunch of them all over the place. And you think, oh, that's just a standard quest giver. Sure.
Yeah. Until that quest giver stabs you in the back.
Right. But you have to build up reputation with different Mr. Johnsons. If you screw them over.
Yeah, you gotta work with your Johnson.
Yeah, you gotta work that Johnson. Anyway, so you screw them over, they screw you over back. And then you're not getting any jobs from them, assuming you survive.
Or they sick the corporations on you.
Right, and you also have to work on reputations.
Now you've got an army attacking you.
Yeah, you have to work with different reputations with the different corporations. Because if you screw with one too often, there's going to be assassins coming your way. But the good thing about Mr. Johnson's is you can go to him as a solo. Let's say I'm playing my Street Samurai, your basic brawler. I can go out there and I can get a small job to do by myself. Or I can go with a group and we can go do something together that's a little more difficult. Different options or different size groups, again coming back to scaling.
Your street samurai with his panther assault cannon.
Yes. And he was a troll. I loved him. He was amazing. And it was 18d6 damage, if I remember right. I'd shoot the damn thing, his handful of dice. Bloof! Alright, let's count it up. That was the thing. Cyberpunk has the... Shadowrun has the dumbest dice pool mechanics. But it's still endearing.
Mm-hmm.
It would actually be funny if that got incorporated into the MMORPG. You know how, like in... Dungeons Dragons Online, the one from Standing Stone Games, not Neverwinter.
Right.
When you would attack, it would have a d20 that would roll. When you did, needed to roll a dice, it would do a little die roll mechanic on the screen. At least it did when I first got into the game. I don't know if they still do it. But that was really kind of a neat touch. I liked that. It was one of the few things I liked about the game. Anyway, that would be just cool to see, your troll grab his big-ass cannon, fire it off, and bam, a bunch of D6s scatter out across your screen real quick. That would be humorous at least a few times until it got really annoying. It would have to be something you could turn off.
Yeah, you should be able to toggle it on and off.
Exactly. Got to toggle your Johnson for sure anyway. I was mixing jokes. Should have been toggle your cannon. But whatever. Point is, I could get on board for that. So any other thoughts on what might get you excited to jump into a new MMO?
Well, I would like it if they didn't force you to have to do a certain type of gameplay for X reward.
Yeah,
sure. If you're doing PvP to get that reward, it's going to have this look to it. If you do dungeons or raids, they're going to have these looks. If you do crafting, it's going to have this look. If you do world bosses, it's going to have this look. Yes, it's a lot more work to it, but you get more variety. People right. can... Because that's one of the things that people really love about their MMOs is being able to differentiate themselves from everybody else. If you can't look different, or you can't be different, then it gets stale really fast. And that's the problem most games have, is they're just stale.
Yeah. No, I know from when we were doing raiding, people used to complain about that idea. Because, well... if you could get the same rewards out of crafting, let's say, then why would anybody ever raid?
Well, that right there shows that raiding isn't that good.
Yeah.
If it can't stand on its own legs, or you have to get certain rewards to make it worth doing, then it's not worth doing.
Right. That's why I'd always said when it came to scaling that maybe crafting and solo stuff can get you rewards with these cool attributes and whatnot that are top end. But that's it. It gives you those bonuses and you're good. But if you get them through dungeons, then it has an extra bonus that goes towards dungeon style play. Small group and group sized. If you get it through raiding, you get bonuses that help you out when you're raiding. Otherwise, they're the same. Maybe they're a similar look, different color armor, for example. PvP, same thing, but it gives you bonuses that go when you're doing PvP. Otherwise, you have these bonuses. That's not fair to us raiders. If raiding were fun, if you enjoy raiding for the challenge, go play it for the challenge. And then you can run around in your special rainbow colored, just for example, raider armor saying, I got this all through raiding. I'm the best. And I'll wander around in my plain brown armor That is the exact same thing, only it doesn't have raid bonuses. And go, okay, cool. I'm going to go off and do fun stuff now. And that would be the end of it. Once upon a time, you used to be able to see people in Orgrimmar, for example, or Stormwind, that would show off their cool mounts, show off their cool armor. And that was the reason to go do these things. For the challenge and to show off your cool looking reward. You can still get good stuff elsewhere. Seems those days are gone.
Mm-hmm.
And if I jump into a new MMO, and that turns out to be the case, if they decide to skew gameplay towards funneling you into raiding or PvP, forcing you into group play or raiding grouping for the best rewards, fuck you, I'm out.
Are we done with this shit yet?
Okay, so that's about it for this week. Do you have any other final thoughts before we go?
Not really. I mean, I went through that list of, you know, the top MMOs coming out this year, and it's like, wow, this is a bunch of garbage. Ashes of Creation? And it doesn't even say that Palia is actually coming out this year. I hope it is, but, you know, whatever.
Right. That was the best list I could find offhand that I sent the link to you on, and it came out in April. So... I think they were just guessing.
I mean, two of the games they had on their list, they had to scratch out because they've been canceled.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's how it goes with MMOs sometimes.
Yeah.
Anyway, as always, I continue to get books in the mail. And I thought I'd go over a few of the games I have gotten recently in the last few weeks. There's actually one that's coming in the mail tomorrow, supposedly. But obviously I don't have it in hand to talk about it, so it can wait. But first, you know my love of all things Vaesen, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I got in on the Kickstarter a few months back. Yes, you know, almost a year back, whatever it was. For Vaesen, Mythic Britain and Ireland, which is the first source book for the game from Free League that covers, obviously, Britain and Ireland, because while Vaesen is awesome, there are a lot of people that were uncomfortable trying to play the game set in Sweden, but most of them didn't live there. Or couldn't pronounce any of the names of the creatures and places and whatnot. And I'm not saying that's a detriment, but, and they did say, hey, you can play this anywhere you want. But what they did here is they got someone to write up basically how to play this in Britain in the same time frame, Britain and Ireland, and using the folklore of those islands for play. So basically, same thing, different, more accessible area to play in. I was a little concerned that it would make it feel more like just, isn't this Victorian Call of Cthulhu? But no, it has that same base and feel, just in a different area. So this, now that I have this, I am very excited to be able to actually play with some, without feeling like I'm going to completely embarrass myself. So yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. And also, it's a beautiful book, well put together. Free League again knocks it out of the park. Then, Gallant Knight Games I don't know if you've ever heard of them. They're a small publishing house. They're the folks that do the tiny games, like Tiny Dungeon, Tiny Frontiers, mm-hmm. Tiny Cthulhu, and so on.
Right.
I have Tiny Dungeon and Tiny Cthulhu myself. Well, now I have Things That Go Squeak in the Night, which is described as cute horror. It's a very simple idea. You play mice. Mice who are trying to defend children from other furry critters, like squirrels and whatnot, who are possessed by demons. But don't worry, you're not alone. You'd also get aided by the occasional owl that throw magic. Yeah. So it's a world of cute little mice heroes trying to fight against black magic, demons, and overwhelming opposition to keep children safe. I have other games that kind of have a similar feel to this. Threadbare, for example, mm-hmm. where you play a toy, effectively. I think I have one or two others, but Things That Go Squeak in the Night is just, it's a beautiful little book. It is a very small book, but that's fitting with their tiny line of games. But, it's just, the artwork's great. The system seems very simple, streamlined, and good to go. And I am really excited about it. I backed this on Kickstarter as well. So I'm pretty happy about that. Finally, have you ever heard of Professor Dungeon Master?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he develops games. And right. He's made, I think he did the Macbeth adventure for 5e. He did a adventure for 5e based on Macbeth. Well, he has a game out now. Yeah, really two. He had, what's the name of his alter ego that... Anyway, it escapes me, but he has a small, like, threefold dungeon crawling game, which is very brutal. I haven't played it, but I heard it's fun. And now, he's put out a digital-only, although I plan to print mine out, game called Eldritch Hack. It is a extremely rules-light Lovecraftian horror game. He has it basically very simple. The way you roll up your hit points makes it compatible with Call of Cthulhu. So you can pick up any adventure for Call of Cthulhu, and it'll work right there with it. Well, you have lore, which is your basically your Cthulhu mythos type score.
Mm-hmm.
Hits or hit points. You've got your skill, which is the primary thing that makes it interesting. The Dungeon Master comes up with a target number, 5, 10, 15, right? You roll a d20 and add skill. There are no classes. There are no other bonuses. It's just, if you're skilled in it, you add skill. If you're unskilled in it, because you do get to choose some skills and whatnot, but if you're unskilled in it, you just go off the d20. Fairly damn simple. He keeps it as rules light as possible. There's only four attributes. And, the other one was sanity. So, he made sure that it's, like I said, compatible with your Call of Cthulhu adventures. So, you can use any of those, or you can just go off of this and go out and have fun. He also includes a built-in adventure which looks incredibly devious. Oh my god. When I heard him talking about it in his video, I don't know if you've watched his video on Eldritch Hack, But he talked about the adventure. And if I had that, I would never run it for the old group. Never. Because people would be so pissed off. I mean, if they got into the, if they knew it was coming, yeah, they'd probably get into it. Because you each pick up one of these pre-made characters and you got to survive the night in this old mansion to try and win the inheritance. And everybody's got their own reasons. They're all bad people. And it's full PvP. The idea is, you don't fucking care. You're coming out of this with the winnings, one way or the other. And there's something in the basement that makes things even worse, but yeah, just the whole dynamics of everybody in the family hates each other and are looking to come out on top could be just an adventure in itself. And just, wow. I could never run that for you guys. Because, oh my God, that would be so bad. Either everyone would get totally into it and be slicing each other up and being, you know, trying to kill each other in devious ways, or it would turn into a screaming match. Mostly at me. So, yeah, no, thanks anyway. But still pretty fucking fun. If I remember right, the book comes in at just over 20 pages or so. Complete with the adventure. So, yeah. I'm going to print that puppy out and put it... Yeah, they don't have a print-on-demand version, which sucks. But I'll take what I can get. Anyway, so any other final thoughts?
No, not really. I mean, just... I work. I come home. I play the games that I have. I've seen nothing on Steam that was worth a damn in a long while.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they got their survival sale going.
Huh.
It might be cool if I was more into survival games, but I'm really not.
Oh, I did forget one thing.
What?
My coworker got Eldritch Hack as well. And immediately, first thing he thought of was, because he'd never played Call of Cthulhu and has never read Lovecraft. In fact, really hasn't watched any Lovecraftian horror. But he looked at that and went, holy crap, I would love to use this system as a rules light D&D game. Because you absolutely could. And so now I'm thinking, geez, is Professor Dungeon Master going to put out an SRD so that an open game license so that we can make our own games based off of the hack? Or is there already one out there? I don't know. But I'm excited to find out. So I tell you what, that would be fucking cool. That's almost dead of night level awesome for throw a character together in 3 minutes and go. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I would totally be on board for that. Yeah, forget the tiny books, which are already easy to make a character for. Let's do it in a minute. How fast can you fill out a character sheet, which has only a few entries? Anyway, suppose I should stop praising Eldritch Hack and move on, right? Anyway.
Don't have to.
Oh, no. Save some for next time.
Sure.
Right. Anyway, until next time, I'm Squirmus.
And I'm Bayless.
Generic catchphrase ending.
Well, look at that. You made it through an entire episode. Good for you. Now, here's your prize. Ads. Please drop by whatever service you heard this abomination of a podcast on, and give the show a great review. You can also come by our website squirmy.com, check out our blogs, podcasts, and other content, and leave some comments. Finally, join our Discord server. You can listen to us record Loop Mechanics live, and chat with other fans. You'll find the link on the website. Until next time, I'm the digital voiceover guy, telling you to kindly, fuck off.